This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Jones and Keefe.
In the last week of the regular season, any thoughts on being at least on the short list when it comes to potential MVP?
Yeah, I think, just honor. Just honor. I told, everybody says some things in the locker room. It's us. You know, it's not just me. It's us in the locker room. It's really a team. It's really a team deal, I think. You know, they say it's a player, but, you know, I think wins, you know, help that. So, obviously, there's been some great seasons around the league from a lot of players, and it's an honor, but also at the same time, we got to, you know, work to do.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Happy Friday.
Are you ready?
Happy Friday. What's up, everybody? Megan Ottolini here with John Lyons. We're with you until 2 p.m. today, filling in our final day, taking over for Jones and Keefe. The boys will be back next week. As noted in the Twitch chat, yes, dark and stormy nights. Jones and Keefe are on their annual holiday vacation together still. I believe they're in the Bahamas somewhere. Hope they're having a wonderful time. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI is where you can find us. You can also find us live streaming on YouTube. You can find us on the Odyssey app. AUDACY, and you can join the show here, 617-779-7937, on the phones, on the text line, as always. John, how was your New Year's?
You know, Mago, it was very interesting because it was the first New Year's in a long time that I was just at my house at midnight, so it was nice. We went to a little party, came home early, watched the end of that Miami-Ohio State game, had the Bruins game on too, but it was just nice to kind of not be out and about at midnight on New Year's this year.
Yeah, we have an open door policy here today. So we are going to be talking about, you can talk about your New Year's. We're going to be talking about Patriots. We're going to be talking about the Drake May MVP campaign that will have its finale in week 18 on Sunday with the Dolphins coming to town. We are going to continue to talk about the Diggs and Barmore situations, the team's response to it, what may happen from a league perspective, what may happen from the perspective of the legal process ongoings and how that could affect this team in a football sense. And if you want to talk about CFP, you want to talk about the college football playoffs because there was an awesome game last night.
Talk about how it took a year for that Ole Miss Georgia game to end.
Jeez. How about a year to get like an actually really good playoff game, though?
I know.
But the rest of the game stunk.
Indiana, your offensive line winning MVP of the Rose Bowl. You know I was fired up for that.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I'm not saying there wasn't good football being played. It's
in most of
the other games, it was only being played by one team on the field.
Yes, correct. So it took until the fourth quarterfinal game, but we got a good game.
Hey, if you want to talk about how the Bills are once again trying to outsource their labor in their stadium to fans to come out and shovel out the snow. Like, that's why, just quick rant off the top here, because I saw this on Twitter and it's like a cutesy tradition now that they do. Like, oh, who would have thought the lake effect brought another blizzard to Highmark Stadium? Do you want to come and be the final fans to help shovel out Highmark Stadium for the last time? It's like the team's worth $6 billion. Hire somebody to do it, guys. Stop asking your fans to drive out in the snow when you make such a big deal about every time that there's these lakefront blizzards. Our fans are too tough. They're going to try to brave the streets to come out here and we have to rethink the times. Then you're asking them to come out and shovel your stupid seats. Like, hire somebody, guys.
Do they pay the people to do that? Or at least give them, like, tickets to the game?
I don't think so. I think it's just like a cutesy, fun community thing.
Absurd.
If you're a Bills fan and you've done it before and you want to correct me if I'm wrong, you can please chime in, 617-779-7937. Just another, just a cheap owner shout out. You know, we do it so much within our own community around here. I thought I'd shout it out to the Bills because you guys literally just built a new stadium. They are opening next year. Like, stop asking people to do this for free.
I mean, it could be worse.
I saw a tweet that they pay them $20 an hour.
Okay, $20 an hour.
$20 an hour?
Yeah. According to the tweet
I might take
I saw,
7
yeah.
hours okay. to shovel one section just to, you know, run up the price.
Right?
Yeah. But you know what? Even those owners aren't as bad as the Kansas City Chiefs, who are just like fleecing the entire state of Kansas for that new stadium project they got going on.
Does that make the Crafts look significantly better? Because,
yeah,
of course, you
so.
Have the news coming out about the Rev Stadium.
Yeah, I think so. Like, and it, look, the baseline for ownership is, do they care about winning and are they willing to spend? But I also think it meant, like, when Gillette Stadium is paid for with private money, this Everett Stadium is going to be paid for without public funds. Like, look at what, you know, the Marlins did to the city of Miami. The Chiefs are going to do now to whatever city in Kansas. I think they're in Kansas City, Kansas, they're going to. But, like, what these teams do to these cities is pretty brutal. Like, a lot of, and the cities rarely, if ever, if you look at the economics of it, make that money back that they invest. So, yeah, I give the Crafts a ton of credit for privately financing Gillette Stadium in 2002. And the soccer stadium now.
Do you think that there's any fan out there who's like, yeah, I mean, I would just rather see that money go back into the Patriots rather than a new Rev stadium? I know, I'm not trying to hate on Revs fans,
because yeah, well, like,
I know
what
they're
out
there
about,
and they're like incredibly fervently asking for the stadium. But is it going to be a similar thing to, like, did we really need another giant lighthouse on top of the small lighthouse that was nowhere near the ocean?
It's kind of like what we talk about with, like, John Henry, like, oh, if he pays the Liverpool soccer player, is
he not
going to sign
the pitcher? But is it different because it's local? Because it's another local
maybe
team?
Maybe a little different, I would say. But, yeah, I mean, look, you still got to think it's money coming from. So I give them credit for using private money for it. But, yeah, it is money coming from out of them, and you want, I mean, look, though, they spent a ton of money this offseason, so until they show me otherwise, like, that's been the Patriots' problem the past 5 or 6 years. It wasn't that they weren't spending, they were just spending and screwing it up. Like, they gave Juju Smith-Schuster a lot of money, and he wasn't good. Like, they gave other guys, in 2021, they spent $250 million, and they gave him a one-year bump. So the Red Sox problem was they didn't spend as aggressively as other teams. The Patriots problem was they spent, just didn't do it well.
You're saying Nelson Aguilar was a bad deal.
Yeah, it was a little overpaid. Jalen Mills, all due respect, a little overpaid.
I want to grab a call here really quick, 617-779-7937, because we do have Bills fans who are coming out saying, hey, they get those $20 per hour. How dare I? Chris in the car has shoveled snow for the Bills. Chris, why did you do it, and what was that like?
So it was awful. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
And I ended up with tickets to the game, and we're watching the pregame, and the snow is piling up. We see nobody shoveling snow. We had second row on the 40-yard line. The only thing they don't tell you is that there's nowhere to shovel the snow. So we got there first and shoveled it over to the next people's seats and just let it ride. And we stood out about 6 inches of snow the entire game. It was ridiculous. I saw no hourly employees whatsoever.
Wait.
Know what really goes on.
So, Chris,
that's what went on.
Did your neighbors who were sitting in the snow seats that you dumped your snow on, did they show up to the game and have to sit in your snow?
They kind of did, yeah, because that's what the plan was. We had to steal a shovel because somebody was hogging it. They didn't want to share. And it was kind of a clown show, so to speak.
Okay.
I couldn't believe that's what actually happened. I was surprised. I thought they had that stuff under control, but they really don't.
Thank you, Chris. So there you go. People are chiming in. Yeah.
I think they do that at Lambeau too. Like, people will come and shovel the snow. But I feel like Lambeau has a better system where they, like, dump the snow down, like, to the bottom near the field. So I don't know. Maybe the Bills don't.
I don't know if this is true or not, but this is.
Are you talking about the 413
text? I like this
allegation.
We have a blind item, as they say in the tabloids. Used to work for a tabloid myself, the Boston Herald. Love that life. Love a blind item. Can't verify this, but it's silly, so I'm going to read it. 413-LMAO, if you know what that stands for. I have an electrician friend from out here in Springfield. They're helping build the new Bills stadium, and they're putting all kinds of Patriots stuff inside the walls and around the stadium, LOL. So they're setting a curse on the new Bills stadium.
That's good. I appreciate that.
I like that.
It's like the guy who put the David Ortiz jersey in the foundation of the new Yankee Stadium. Very
yeah.
nice of him.
Okay, we're having a fun start to the show. There is a lot of serious stuff that we need to continue addressing, because we welcome your fun calls, but because it has been a serious week with the off-field allegations against Stephon Diggs and then Christian Barmore. Last time that we were on here together, John Lyons, the allegations broke against Stephon Diggs. We had his attorneys down in Dedham remotely, and the team came out with a statement in staunch support, saying literally, we support Stephon. And he was in the locker room the next day. I was in the locker room the next day. He was there, practiced as usual, as far as all of us could tell. And that's been going on this week. But the very next morning, driving down to Gillette, we get more allegations, a little bit of a different kind, against Christian Barmore. And so I was very curious sitting in the media room. I was chatting with some of our fellow reporters, media brethren, wondering how the Patriots, specifically how Mike Vrabel, was going to address the situation. Everyone was saying, is this going to be Mike Vrabel taking the especially later stage Bill Belichick route of having a pre-prepared statement and saying, I'm going to read this. The rest of it is a legal situation. I'm not going to address it. It's a legal situation. I'm not going to address it. That kind of tack. Vrabel didn't do that at all. If anything, and I would have guessed that Gerard Mayo would have done that too. Done what Bill had done for so many years here, because that's kind of how you handle it here. Vrabel took, I don't know, a dozen questions and very specific questions. He talked to reporters who were sitting there on either side of me with the documents from the courts, from the lawyers right in front of them about what Christian Barmore, the allegations against him were. And I was very surprised. I just want to play, Jackson, if you have it ready. This was Vrabel opening up. Karen Garigian is always the one who, from Mass Live, a longtime former Boston Herald reporter, she gets the first question down there in every press conference. And so he turned right to Karen. She asked about whether these allegations were disappointing. And this was Vrabel's answer.
Well, I would say not disappointing at all. I think that these are allegations, like you mentioned in your question. It's things that we have to handle, and every day that there's distractions. Some are smaller than others. And, I'm confident that, we'll focus on the Dolphins. And, those two individuals that you mentioned will, be able to, handle the ongoing legal process.
So what was your immediate takeaway? And then I'll give you mine. But I want to open the floor to you, John Lyons, because I just talked for like 5 minutes.
So I'll start with something that we talked about on Tuesday, and I think this kind of confirmed that. When it comes to Diggs, they think he's innocent. And maybe they'll be right, maybe they'll be wrong. But that statement, remember, categorically denies the allegations, and then the three sentence, we support Stephon. And then for Vrabel to say not disappointing at all, they think Diggs is innocent. And again, maybe they'll end up being right, maybe. But for the team statement to be that strong, and then for Vrabel to say not disappointing at all, they think he's innocent. Now, with Barmore, you got to remember, this isn't the first thing. And I know like people have talked about, well, Diggs, there was stuff in Minnesota, there was stuff in Buffalo. But with Barmore, this isn't like, remember there were whispers about him at Alabama, and that's why he fell to the second round of the draft. And look, I was excited when the Patriots drafted him. I think he's a great player.
There were reports at the time about character concerns.
Exactly. And then there was the incident with the police officer last year that he had at the traffic stop, and I know that's kind of over with now, but it's just...
He did apologize for that.
And he did.
The fact.
It's just now, so we're talking... It's now multiple things with him since he's... And again, great player. I was excited when they drafted him, but... This is now multiple things since he's been here. And I feel like...
Couldn't you say that in some context with Diggs as well?
Because with the boat
he had the boat incident, didn't have any criminal or league implications at all. We don't know how the team handled it completely behind scenes, but didn't seem to be a ton of disciplinary action there.
No, really. All I remember, and you were down at mini camp more than I was, was Vrabel said something along the lines, we need to make good decisions for the team. And then Diggs was out there practicing right after that.
So I would say biggest disciplinary action that they had with Diggs immediately after the boat incident was that he was expected to be there in person at practice.
Because that wasn't
because
he there the next
far,
practice?
Yes, he had not been there. He had not been at minicamp. And so he shows up that one day. Honestly, the biggest takeaway at the time, we all looked at it and went, damn, he looks really good. He looks really healthy. He looks like whatever rehabbing he's been doing, and if he's on that dumb boat, like, he looks ready to play football. Yeah. That was the biggest takeaway at the time.
And look, Vrabel's a smart guy. This is a risk for him, because if he says, no, they're not disappointing at all, and it turns out that one or both of these guys are guilty, then that will look really bad for him. Now, if they're both innocent, he'll look right, and he'll look smart. But that's a risk, because like you mentioned, the way Bill used to do it, if they put out a statement, you'd ask him 50 times about it, and all 50 times he'd say, well, we already put out a statement about that, and that's how it would go. That's the safer way to play it. Like, the way Vrabel is playing it is,
it's not safe at all.
No, and so if they're turned out to be innocent, then he'll look really smart. But if one or both are not, then it's going to be a problem for it. Like, that's it's just a risky way for him to play it, and it's interesting that he would go that route. Like, he's not a first-time head coach. Like, he was in Tennessee, and I know we were talking about this the other day. I don't think the Titans had any scandals or anything like to this, but he's been, like, Gerard Mayo would say a lot of dumb things last year, but it's like, okay, he's a first-time head coach. He's still figuring it out. Vrabel was a head coach. That's why, too, it struck me even further that he was that strong kind of when he came out and answered that question.
I was kind of shocked at the way that he handled it.
I was shocked at the team statement initially, too.
The team statement about Stephon Diggs, and we'll continue to talk about that statement because then they had to put out a statement about Christian Barmore the next day, and I thought it struck a very different tone. I promise we'll address that in a few minutes. But by putting out the statement you did about Stephon Diggs, it does set a precedent about every statement that you're going to put out when something else off the field happens with a player, especially when it's an alleged violent incident that involves a woman. Now, the way that Vrabel started off that press conference, I was bracing for, wow, like this could be something that could really haunt him, because saying that it's not disappointing at all to have allegations swirling around out there, again, about two instances that accuse violence involving women, that's a really serious response to have. I thought as he went on, he talked about the seriousness and the sensitivity of the situations. And from his perspective, these are allegations. There has been no legal process yet to determine the responsibility, innocence or guilt, anything like that. And so that's the important counter to have to all of this, right? I know there's text messages already coming in about why are you presuming someone's guilty, blah, 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 blah. Why are we even talking about this? They're still on the field. The NFL hasn't done anything about it. Well, the allegations are really serious in nature. And so if you don't want to talk about it, like even from a football perspective, there can be some real impact on the football team. Much of this football team has been, the team is really close. The direction from the head coach has been flawless. The guys in the locker room say, guys who came here as free agents, Stephon Diggs, Kalavon Chasen, have said this is the closest locker room they've ever been in, the best locker room they've ever been in. Like, this is something that you can't ignore. And I think that's what Vrabel demonstrated yesterday. So while I do think that first answer, I understand people's reaction to going like, whoa, that is not the right note to strike. I do give him a lot of credit for standing up there, taking questions from Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald. Hey, did you know about the car that was allegedly sent to Christian Barmore's accuser by the team to take her away from the scene of what she said happened there? All of that, I give him a ton of credit for being transparent, for being a human being and standing up there and addressing what's going on off of the field. Like, I think that demonstrates leadership. Did you like the way that he handled all of it? Maybe you didn't, but I do appreciate being a person and speaking on behalf of his relationship with the team.
Yeah, and I think, too, the other part of this, if you want to just talk the football aspect, Diggs is your second best offensive player. Barmore is one of your highest paid players. And I know at times been consistent. He's one of your best defensive players. So I know people are like, oh, it's an off. Like, yeah, it's a serious situation. It's a locker room situation. And then the third part of it, it's an actual if the NFL says, hey, you can't play them wild card weekend, that's a huge deal for whoever they play wild card weekend or beyond that.
Right. It's a developing situation. We got a lot more to talk about in the next segment. We'll talk to Mike Onwenu from the Patriots, offensive lineman. I believe it's going to be right after they get out of practice, so we're hoping that's going to be in the 1 o'clock hour. But of course, these things are always shifting around, so we'll keep you abreast of that situation. But here's trending
now. Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Do you think he'll be put on the NFL's commissioner's list?
I think generally when we've seen that, there's been some level of physical evidence.
Okay.
And like, so I don't think so. Like when you look again, like with Greg Hardy, there were pictures. With Adrian Peterson, there were pictures. With Ray Rice, there was video. Like, I think it has to rise to the level of like, this is really embarrassing for the league that this guy is on the field. That's what that was intended for in the first place.
Okay.
Welcome back. Megan Ottolini and John Lyons with you until 2 p.m. That was Albert Breer on Early Edition with Trenny Casey on NBC Sports Boston discussing whether he thinks that Stephon Diggs and or Christian Barmore will be placed on the NFL commissioner's exempt list, as we saw with players in the past. And obviously, this is the football side of it. Like, could you lose either of these guys as these situations continue to develop? There, Albert Breer, who's super tight end, talks to executives all over the league, has a great handle on this kind of stuff, says there isn't really a level of physical evidence in these cases. I would assume, I think that was right after Stephon Diggs, where there aren't photos, according to police reports, court documents. There is no physical evidence. It's a little bit different with the Barmore case, because according to local reporting, there are some photos that were attached to the court documents that came out of, I'm looking at NBC 10 Boston right now, that came out of the Barmore allegations. So don't know about that. Don't know if that's going to be, if we're talking about physical evidence, if that presents a different case. But particularly for Stephon Diggs, according to Albert Breer, it would be a big surprise if he, at least with the amount of information we have right now, if he would end up on the exempt list.
Yeah, and I wonder if that plays into, again, how strong the team statement was in support of Diggs, because you think the exempt list as well, and like when Jabril Peppers was placed on it last year, that was a situation where something happened. He was in court pretty much right away. I think, I don't know if it was the next day or 2 days later, but he was in court right after he got placed on it. Remember, he got found innocent, but he was placed on the exempt list right away, whereas Diggs, so his lawyer was at court, but he wasn't there. So I could see them not placing him on the exempt list. And then there was even, when the story broke on Tuesday, one of the things that his lawyers were haggling over was his arraignment going to be January 23rd, which was 2 days before the AFC Championship game, or were they going to try to push it back all the way until March, which would obviously be well after the NFL season. So it feels like, to me, if the exempt list was going to happen with Diggs, I feel like it would have happened by now. Like, it's been a few days, and I know we had the New Year's Day holiday, so maybe that delays it, and maybe there's some decision today, but I don't think there would be a decision after the Miami game, unless some new information comes out. Like, they would decide to put him on the, because why would you have him available to play in the Miami game when the thing happened on, the story broke on Tuesday, and then put him on the exempt list after? So if he's going to get put on
it. If new information came out.
Exactly. That's the only reason.
Particularly if a different level of evidence came out.
Sure.
That's what would change it. 617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. Hey, doors are also open to anything else. Guys, we know this is serious stuff. If you want to talk about MVP, if you want to talk about the Celtics beating Sacramento last night, like, we're open to all of it. If you want to talk about Bruins, if you want to talk about Red Sox continuing to do nothing, I don't know why you would, but you can chime in on that, 617-779-7937. We're going to continue detailing these situations and, of course, the impact from a football perspective. Here's Jeff in Rehoboth. What's up, Jeff? Jeff? All right.
Oh.
Jeff, we're going to put you on hold. Hopefully you come back. He said he wanted to discuss Vrabel's response again with that first question from the press conference yesterday. Again, I'd say, not sure, like, the word choice was exactly what you want for opening up the response. I know there's fans on the text line, 617-779-7937, who say they staunchly like Vrabel's saying that he's not disappointed at all. Like, that these are allegations, and that is important to continue repeating. These are serious allegations that are sensitive in nature, and they should be treated with the seriousness, but they're allegations. Nobody has been found criminally accountable at this point. The legal system will do its thing. We can only talk about it as a developing story.
Yeah, and again, you kind of made the point, and I think it's a good one, that it wasn't just that opening statement from Vrabel. Like, as it went on, he talked about the seriousness of the situation. Because I think at first glance, if you just hear that, oh, they're not disappointing at all. And I said this last segment, like, wow, that's a risky thing to say. That might end up looking really bad. And it's still, that's true. But then you look at what he said later on in the press conference, some of his other answers, and there's a little bit more of a, well, I don't want to say well-rounded picture, but maybe a little bit more of a
well, there's
picture.
More context.
Yeah,
to
there's
all
more
of it.
Context to it. So I think it is one of those things that if you're following the story, it's worth the effort to listen to the whole or watch the whole press conference, not just that initial answer.
And honestly, like, it feels obvious, but I think it's worth saying. When you hear the beginning of the clip that we just played of Albert Breer discussing whether or not these guys will be or could be put on the commissioner's exempt list, the situations that he details before that, covering Adrian Peterson, covering yeah. Ray Rice.
Greg Hardy as well.
Again, these are allegations, but part of the reason that they have to be taken so seriously is because there is a gross precedent that has been set in the league when it involves violence and women, and it's really unfortunate. Like, trust me, I know people don't all want to hear about it, and maybe they particularly don't want to hear about it from me or my tone of voice, but it's just disappointing. Like, if these allegations are not true and they're found to be, both guys are found to be completely innocent of these allegations, it's disappointing all around. I don't know how you say it's not.
Yeah, and that's the thing. However,
it's disappointing then that the allegations were brought and that we have to go through this again. It's disappointing from any angle that you play it. How is it not disappointing?
Yeah, and I think that's, however this ends, it's disappointing. Because, like, if both of them are guilty, that's disappointing. One of them's guilty, that's disappointing. Both innocent, disappointing you had to go through this whole thing.
Right.
So no
or
matter
disappointing
what,
that somebody would bring those charges against, knowing the precedent of things that have happened that have had horrible physical evidence that we've all seen, yeah. especially with Ray Rice, beforehand in the same league.
Yeah, and that's it. So that's why, to me, I was surprised when Vrabel said that, why I said it was a risk, too, for him to say it's not to, because you and I know this, even though you were there for the whole, what was he talk, 15, 20 minutes or so?
Probably about 15 minutes.
Okay. You and I both know that if one or both of those guys is found guilty, the one thing that's going to be replayed 8,000 times is going to be Vrabel saying, no, not disappointed at all. Like, that's going to be the thing. Even though everything else you said is right, that he added other context, he talked further. We know how social media works. We know how people work. We know how the media is, because we're part of it. That's the thing that's going to be replayed. That's the thing that's going to get hammered on, which is, again, why I felt like that was a risky answer to an extent from him. And look, he knows more about the situation than we do. So maybe he'll end up being proven right, but it is a risk. Cause like I said, if this doesn't go the way they think it's going to go and one or both of these guys is found guilty, that's going to be the quote that's going to be attached to him for a while afterwards. No, not the only quote, but when it comes to this situation, that's going to be the quote.
And again, not disappointing at all.
I give him credit for standing up there, not shutting down the questions. He never said, like, I'm done talking about this. He did say, hey, they're focused on Miami. Like, they're focused on that. That's the football perspective. I get that. But I give him credit for that. I just think it was a rough start.
Yeah.
It was a rough start for a sensitive situation. One other aspect of this, though, has been the overall organization's response to the situations. We're going to go back to that same early edition episode because I thought Trenny Casey did an excellent job putting this into context about the statement that the Patriots initially put out about Stephon Diggs, in which they said, we support Stephon.
My point is you don't have to put that in there. That just opens you up, I think, because the one phrase everyone has talked about today, they haven't talked about the release in its entirety. They haven't even talked. I haven't even heard a lot of people talking about whether or not he's going to play on Sunday or if he'll be on the NFL's commissioner's exempt list. It's all about, well, it must not be that bad if the mm-hmm. Patriots are supporting him. I just think that you can support someone without putting it in a statement and putting it out there unless you are prepared to say exactly why you continue to support him. I just think it's a slippery slope, and I think it sets a dangerous precedent for a team, if we are being honest,
right,
that has been caught with its pants down before.
And I mean, like, the one thing is, like, now going forward, every time they put out a statement like this and that's not in there, like, what are we going to think?
Right.
So
we talked about this on Tuesday.
It sets it up perfectly because then the Patriots have to put out a statement on Christian Barmore the next morning. And the statement on Christian Barmore is the Patriots were made aware at the time of the incident and informed the NFL in a timely manner. The matter remains part of an ongoing legal process. We will respect the process, continue to monitor the situation closely as we have over the past few months, and cooperate fully with the league. We have no further comment at this time. That's much more boilerplate in these situations that you would expect. And because it's not even 24 hours after the statement that they put on Stephon Diggs, there is an obvious comparison point of one of these is a full-throated, we support Stephon, these are accusations. The other one is, we're aware, we're working with the NFL. We have no more comment. Yeah. Like, that's night and day.
Big difference. And this is, you and I talked about this at length on Tuesday when this story broke. We support Stephon. Those three words tell me that the team thinks he's innocent and they're going to stand behind him. And maybe they don't feel that way about Ballmer. Maybe they don't know the situation as well about Ballmer.
Isn't that odd, though? Because just really quick, they said we were aware of the incident at the time.
Yeah, which was August.
So if you would think that they would have more information on one incident that allegedly occurred in August and one that allegedly occurred at the beginning of December, you would think that they would have more information about the one that was months and months ago.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. And that's why that statement, again, we support Stephon. That's not, and beyond the Patriots, when there's a scandal in any sport, business, anything, you always get that Barmore-style statement where we're aware of this, we're gathering. Very rarely do you get the unequivocal, we support XYZ person, whatever. Like, that to me, of everything that's come out, statements, locker room quotes, those three words, I think were the most significant. Because that tells me they think he's innocent, they're going to stand behind him, and they already believe that before the story came out. Because let's not forget, Stephon Diggs' story broke at 11:30 a.m. You and I were on the air. That statement was out by 11:50, like 20 minutes later. So they knew they had that ready to go of supporting him and believing he's innocent.
All right. Well, we will continue taking your calls and discussing the situations as it develops. 617-779-7937. On the other side, I promise now, we are going to turn to actual football on the field because there is a final game in Week 18. We have the playoff picture around the Patriots developing, some news about who's sitting, who's playing, and how it will all affect the Patriots right after this.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Patriots Friday on WEEI is presented by Toyota. Cross Insurance, Pepsi, Shaw's and Star Market. Find MassMoney.gov and by McFarlane Energy.
Another great song choice by Jackson. Well done. Well done behind the glass there. Let's grab a phone call before we turn to our Week 18 playoff picture coming into form. Matt in Rhode Island, you want to talk about shoveling at Highmark?
Yeah, just quickly, and I wanted to speak on the Celtics also, but good morning to you guys.
Good
Happy
morning.
New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. So, it's either 20 an hour or a game to the ticket. Ticket for the game, I'm sorry.
So it's not both? It's one or the other?
Yes, it's one or the other.
That kind of sucks.
Do they still give game tickets? Does that also include playoffs if they host a playoff game? Like, I'm saying in past seasons.
That I'm not sure of. A friend told me he went last year. He lives up in Buffalo. And he's like, yeah, they offer 20 an hour or a ticket to the game. So I took the ticket. I was like, wow, that kind of sucks.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Well, I mean, depending on the game, you could take the ticket to the game and earn yourself more than 20 an hour, right?
If you wanted to go down that road. But see, the thing is, like, the ticket to the game, and don't get me, I'd probably take
the
tickets,
too.
There
has to be a minimum for that,
but
right?
Also,
like a minimum amount of shoveling that you do for the ticket to the game.
And also, let's say it's a 1 o'clock game. So do I show up there at 9 a.m., shovel for, or 8 a.m., shovel for 4 hours, now I'm freezing, probably wet from snow, and then I got to sit for 3.5 more hours at the game? Like, is there somewhere that I can, like, go and warm up? Like, do they give me any opportunity?
You warm
for that?
Up from all that shoveling.
I get maybe.
That's
what
a
if
workout.
You're really bad at shoveling though? Like when you were a little kid and you didn't feel like shoveling, you just did a bad
that's
job.
A talent
so your dad makes it over.
You're just
bad
chipping.
Shovel. Don't put shoveling
with
on
the shovel.
Resume.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You could just be eyewash shoveling and then you get a free ticket.
For Brad Foe's best shape of your life, Jackson, you can work on shoveling between now and opening day.
No, thanks. I'm 40. I don't need that anymore.
Just shovel some snow, you know?
I got to be honest, and this is going to be like a total jinx. I don't know the last time I shoveled my car because we haven't had.
I did yesterday.
You had to shovel your car yesterday? How much snow did you get down here?
We got like 3 inches. And then, of course, the car had a couple inches on it. So I had to clean it. I had to shovel my driveway.
I'm not talking about cleaning off your car. I'm talking about shoveling out the tires so you can get your car out.
So here's the thing. We technically could have got out of the driveway like without shoveling, but it was like a few inches. So I was like, I'm going to shovel. But earlier.
Sounds like you were just dying to shovel.
Yeah, I like doing landscaping and yard work. I hate shoveling. That's like
everybody
the one outside
shoveling task
I hate. But what was it? Was it Sunday night we got snow? Like that next day I had to shovel too.
At least with shoveling your car.
Got like 4 inches.
There's like such a sense of accomplishment when you're done. Like when you shovel that car off and you use the brush and clean it all off. And then you look at the other cars around and yours is the one that's been freed.
Yeah.
Like there is that sense of accomplishment that you don't get with
see,
much other
see, in suburbia for us, that's the driveway. Like okay. My driveway's clean, but you know, all the neighbors' driveway's still full of snow. But of course, where we get, I don't know if this happens to you in the city. When the plow comes by and leaves all the sandy, salty, wet snow at the end of your driveway, and it takes more work to shovel that one strip than it does the entire rest of your driveway, and you're cursing at the plow guy the entire time.
Yeah, I park in a lot, so okay. I have that. And don't worry, not like a garage spot, guys. It's not fancy, but I do park in a lot, so I don't have to.
Sick brag,
thank
bro.
Mago's
got
a
reserved spot at the Prudential Center.
It's not reserved. It's just a lot that I paid to park in. But it's also like a death trap right now. I'll say I saw two people eat crap in the lot this morning, and it made me feel a little bit better because when I got on my car yesterday, I was wearing snowshoes, and I almost bit it. It's so icy. It's like a rink out there. So be careful, guys. Remember, when you're on the snow or icy streets, walk like a penguin. That means you take very little small waddling steps and you lean your body forward a little bit. And that way you won't eat it because you don't want to do that.
Public service announcement.
Public service announcement. Walk like a penguin. I learned this the hard way. David in the car wants to talk about shoveling for the Bills. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy New Year. So, you know, that's interesting what they want to pay because the company that I own, one of the businesses that I own, we supply services, and that's one of them we do is in the winter. If people need, you know, hands-on people to shovel snow, whatever, we do that, and not just in New England. We do it, you know, outside of New England as well.
Sick brag, bro.
That they offer, so $20 an hour that they're offering, is that's cheap.
I think
they're
so, too.
They're not exactly doing you a favor. Because if I supply the service to them, they're going to pay me a lot more than 20 because I have to pay my people at a minimum to shovel snow, $25 an hour at a minimum.
Okay. Thank you, David. I thought it sounded cheap too, but.
And I feel like it's been $20 an hour for like 10 or 15 years. So like inflation goes up and like they just still $20.
I honestly didn't even know they were paying these volunteers. Yeah. So I got to admit that from the top of the show.
You should get paid and a ticket to the game though. Like the fact that you have to choose one or other, that kind of sucks.
Somebody texted it and said they also get free food and beverage. I'm guessing like a soda. I don't think it's like an alcoholic beverage because that would get wild. Down
yeah,
there'd
be some interesting snow angels if
or
they
over there.
Did well. What do you get for food too? Is it like any food you want,
chicken
or
tendies,
is it like you get one like hot dog,
slice of pizza?
Yeah,
yeah. I would love to know David, like the town that he's in, because we always get David in the car, and the amount of businesses that he's involved in. I just picture it's like one of those old school towns where you go and he's the sheriff and he's also the judge and he's also
the snow removal guy
yeah. And he also runs
town
the
clerk.
Local hospital.
Yeah.
You know what he does now? He's a private investigator.
What?
I swear.
So you had us talking to a PI and you didn't tell us?
David's a man of many jobs apparently.
Oh.
And former amateur pro soccer player.
I knew that. I actually did know that. We talked about that before.
What does that mean? Amateur pro soccer player?
Or maybe, okay.
What's
yeah, that
an
doesn't
amateur
make any sense.
Pro soccer player?
I was going to kind of let that go.
Yeah, a low-level soccer player? I don't know.
Yeah. A guy who played soccer before.
So like a minor league soccer player.
I guess. Yeah, he did talk about that once. I knew that, Jackson.
Anyway, as we talk, you continue to talk about the Bills getting Highmark Stadium shoveled out by their fans for $20 an hour. We get the news yesterday from Adam Schefter that Josh Allen is going to be sitting in Week 18. That could have a big impact on who you play in Wild Card Weekend if you're going to play in Wild Card Weekend. So we know Justin Herbert is sitting. That is going to give a huge leg up to the Broncos getting the number one seed overall.
Yep.
Now we know Josh Allen is sitting. That opens up the possibility that a Mitch Trubisky-led Bills team could lose to the pathetic Jets. I still think that the Bills will have the edge. It's possible. And then you have the Bills sitting in the seventh seed, and you see them again for the third time this season. When you look at the Bills versus the Chargers, I would guess most people would want to welcome the Chargers from their cozy SoFi Stadium over to New England.
Yeah, I think both are beatable, but I'd rather play the Chargers because even though Josh Allen is sitting, like Justin Herbert has a broken hand, like that's a more serious injury. Coming West Coast to East Coast too, that's never easy. And I know that's more anecdotal, but that's never really easy for teams. And I would also say too, like that Chargers defense is really, really good, and I take them seriously. But Buffalo has already come to Gillette and won a game this year. So they have that confidence there. And I know they gave up 31 points, but they have that level of confidence. I think they're both winnable games, just in different ways. So, but I would prefer to see the Chargers. And the other piece of this, too, and I know the Bills aren't as dominant as they were last year, year before, it's still a team that's been to the AFC Championship game, gone deep in the playoffs. So Justin Herbert doesn't have a playoff win yet.
It's still Josh Allen. Yeah. If you're choosing between broken hand Justin Herbert and Josh Allen, you're going to prefer broken hand Justin Herbert. Yeah. I know it's not that simple.
And also James Cook too. Like, I think we need to add in James Cook. Like,
yes.
James Cook is probably a better player than anyone on the Chargers offense around Justin Herbert. And no disrespect to those guys. That's just how good James Cook is. Like, he's that
good.
Well,
it's not like they have good receivers.
Yeah, I know. And they had the two best offensive tackles in the league, and both are hurt. That's another thing about the Chargers, right? There's Rashawn Slater gets hurt before the year. Joelle hurt during the year. Like, I know the Patriots pass rush hasn't been great this year. That's something, though, maybe they can take advantage.
Don't worry about disrespecting the Bills. They're asking their fans to once again come out and dig out Highmark Stadium.
I am once again asking for you to shovel snow.
Okay, we are going to continue our football talk on the other side. Do we have a response, finally, for those who continue to talk, myself included, about the Patriots' soft schedule allegations? Do we have a response for another team who looks like they're going to get the first week bye in the playoffs, the first round bye, and the number one seed overall, right after this break?
You're waking up with the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Want Boston sports 24/7? It's easy. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
All right. Stephen A's are behind the glass. What was your song?
Yeah, the Downfall of Us All by A Day to Remember.
These two things. That one up next. Downfall, yes. That one and Ace of Spades.
Yep. Rob needs his Ace of Spades.
Yeah, I don't. The guitar, I don't need a big bass. Yeah, no.
He needs energy.
I don't need anyone to be slapping the bass.
Slapping the bass,
man. This early in the morning. All right, this is the Greg Hill Show. I'm Rob Bradford along with
Great
Chris
movie,
Schein.
By the way.
Oh, great movie.
I love you, man.
Oh, I love
tremendous.
You. Yeah. And I just told you a great movie, maybe the movie of the year, in case. And with, fortunately for everyone that's still in theaters, Marty Supreme, one of the greatest sports movies of all time.
Hold on. Did you just say one of the greatest?
One of the greatest sports
Like, if
movies?
You were to make a Mount Rushmore of sports movies, you're talking Miracle. You're talking Remember the Titans.
I would take this.
You're talking Marty Supreme.
I would take Marty Supreme over both those movies.
What?
Yeah, absolutely.
Over Remember the Titans?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I would take Marty Supreme over both those movies.
Okay.
And
interesting. All right.
Greatest ping pong movie since Balls of Fury.
Yeah, great movie. Great movie. That was a good time. I love that.
We could discuss that a little bit later. So we got a lot to get to here. Great leads by everybody. Chris Scheim, and I do want to play. We were looking up. We talked about GMs, former players becoming GMs of teams, particularly in the NFL, because of what you said, Troy Aikman, the Miami Dolphins, summoning Troy Aikman as helping them with a GM search. And I had mentioned this documentary with Tom Brady. He went to, he helped buy a team, Birmingham soccer team. He basically helps run it. It's kind of one of these things where he runs it when he wants to run it,
yep.
But he does the doc. It's a really good documentary, and we're going to play sound from that a little bit later. about how he, what was it? What did they say? We looked it up. He fired. So he got the team. He fires the coach, and then he hires this iconic former soccer player,
English soccer player, Wayne Rooney. He played for Manchester United for years.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney was hired October 11th and was fired, I believe it was like January 4th after 15 matches.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And we
two months.
We have a clip of Brady saying they're in the car, and this reminds me a lot of. Remember when Behind the Beast started for Nesson? And one of the first episodes was them crapping all over Tyler Seguin before they traded him. And everyone's like, oh, wow, they actually let him. Well, they control it. They controlled the editing.
Yeah.
Brady controlled the editing of it.
Yeah, of course.
So when he's crapping on Wayne Rooney in this documentary about his work ethic, there's a reason for it. Because he's saying, oh, this is a reason why I fired the guy. Look how smart he is, even though Birmingham still went down the tubes. all right, well, speaking of Brady... I can't. We got to do a 30 for 30 on this Alex Earl thing, man.
Oh, dude. Just an absolute. We got to do. Oh. We got to get the. What was it? What segment did they used to do with Bill Belichick with the telestrator? With the telestrator?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And can we get like a body language expert on there?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to be an expert about this body language.
Mitch, I don't know if we could. I think we could show this on Twitch because it's just a Twitter clip. But
oh yeah, you can. Yeah, absolutely.
Pull that puppy up on Twitch for the people.
So it was Alex Earl. St. Barth was the place that they were out partying. I was there and I felt obligated not to share, but
yes,
somebody
of course.
Did. But Alex Earl, who is the former girlfriend of Braxton Berrios, former Patriot.
And former teammate of Tom's,
former
I believe,
teammate
right?
of Tom, yeah. By former Miami Hurricane. And they broke up recently. So Tom Brady was seen with Alex Earl at this club. And there's a video, TMZ surfaces video. And they're just sitting there talking. But
oh, Mitch has an even different video up.
Oh, no, that's the one I was talking. Watch this. Watch the... Look at that.
Oh, I have an even different one.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about grabbing the elbow.
One.
Oh, yeah. And
I sent Mitch the one I
saw. And so go check that out on Twitch. But she's basically, the best way I can describe it is that after grabbing the elbow, which is the elbow grab is always the move.
Yep.
Right?
Makes a man swoon.
Yes, absolutely. She's basically doing a figure eight with her hand on his back.
Yeah.
Which
a good back rub.
Which, like, me describing it, might not seem as effective as it probably is.
No, yeah, you got to see it. Well, because also you got to realize, too, the back rub allows you to get nice and close. She gets right up into the ear to start talking, which is a very sensual
and,
place,
and it wasn't, and it wasn't just like a pass.
No.
She went back up and kept,
she was.
Yeah. It was like the Belustrator was a great example. It was like she was drawing a play on Tom Brady's back.
Yep.
Which she may have been.
She might have been. She might have been letting him know exactly what she can conjure up on the football field.
It's unbelievable. It's a master class in flirting.
And then you know Tom Brady's into it because he immediately goes hand to the lower back, and that's when he's like, I got a
feeling. I don't even think you needed that. I think Tom Brady isn't into it.
That's true.
So that's great. We're here to break down that film. Excellent
Rob
job.
On a golf course in the Twitch chat. Why did I just choke on my coffee when Shime said sensual?
Excellent job by Mitch. Excellent job of pulling that video up. I mean, it's just like you could run that on a loop.
I remember
when Bobby Valentine took over, and that spring training, when you walked into the clubhouse, they have TVs everywhere. They just put walk-off home runs on a loop, right? Just to get ingrained in their head, like positive
walk-offs.
Reinforcements. They should put this video on a loop somewhere. If I was running an establishment
for like single guys,
I would do that. Absolutely. The Alex Earl flirting with Tom Brady, the back rub. I mean, see, the more you want, you can't take your eyes off.
No,
of it.
You can't.
And it's
I can't take my eyes off her hand, like rubbing his back in giant circles.
But then just when you figure it's over. She keeps doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was,
she even like kind of goes up and down like, oh man.
That was his New Year's Eve.
Interesting.
And we haven't even talked about New Year's Eve, about your exciting New Year's Eve and you all right?
Yeah, I'm great. It just reminded me of wasabi and
I know. I ruined your New Year's Eve with
wasabi. No, actually my New Year's Eve was lovely. We had a nice dinner. I went and got some sushi, and then on the sushi plate was a thing of wasabi.
And you ran, you sprinted away.
I caught a whiff, and I was like, oh, God.
You sprinted away. I'm sorry to do that to you. All right. We still haven't, after our show, as we said, after our show on Tuesday, immediately after, an hour after, all the stuff happened with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. The poop was starting to hit the fan, the Diggs stuff, and then the next day, the Barmore stuff. And really, because there's... You know, there's not a lot of, there hasn't been a lot of time to talk about it. We are going to talk about it. And I'm kind of anxious to get your perspective of when you first heard it. We'll do this after the break. But when you first heard about it, and it was the chaos of Tuesday, and then the chaos of Wednesday of Barmore, and now we're sitting here Friday, and we also have Mike Vrabel, what he said, which I want to talk about. We'll play that as well. Has it already been like, have they been able to douse the fire already, or haven't they? And by the way, Robert Spillane, he's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour as well. So, all right, 617-779-7937. Here's a trend from David.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Make a habit of it.
The Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Original. WEEI.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
Let's go!
Let's go!
I think this was what was playing when Alex Earl was rubbing Tom Brady's back.
I don't think this is the song playing. I have a feeling it was something much different.
Maybe
this.
Later. All right. 617-779-7937. We have Robert Spillane coming up in a few minutes. It's going to be awesome to talk to Robert Spillane. A great story for the Patriots, obviously. You have, weather? Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right, well, Dave, we sent David Azar out, right? Out and about?
Yep, he went to check outside.
We had to borrow Zach Coe's wrestling singlet. That's part of, I don't ask.
Really feel the breeze.
I don't ask a lot of this show. Like, it's not my show. It's your show. It's Greg Hill's show. But I do feel like one thing I can implement is the wrestling singlet.
The weatherman wrestling singlet.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an underplayed, underutilized
Definitely.
Aspect. So what do we got out there?
All right, checking in on the window world, the Boston window, into the weather with Greg Hill. It's a cold one, not going to sugarcoat it. It is 18 degrees outside right now, but it feels like 4 degrees. Can confirm it is very cold. But it looks like it'll warm up a bit. The sun's supposed to peak out later in the day. Looks like we'll get up to a high of 28 around 2 or 3, but still very cold
so
out
Bradfell,
there.
So, Bradfell, I have to ask you, because I've been talking about this with a couple people. I know weather discussion isn't that intriguing, but regardless, it's made its way into my conversations lately. It feels like when I step outside, it's cold, but it's not brutally cold bad. It's really the wind that has been a nightmare this
interesting
year.
Interesting take.
Right?
Wind makes it colder.
It has been so beyond windy lately, it feels like, that it has just made it unbearable.
Can I tell you, normally I would mock you for someone stating something so obvious.
Of course.
It gets colder when it's windy, right? Conversely, if you go to Texas in August, the wind actually makes it appreciably hotter.
Interesting.
It's like
I didn't know that.
It's like a convection oven.
Oh,
it's
that awful. Sounds awful.
It's awful. So, but one of my least favorite things to do in a calendar year is getting gas on a cold day.
Oh my God, it's miserable.
The amount of times that I've almost run out of gas to procrastinating having to pump gas, it's.
They need like indoor gas stations.
Oh!
Million-dollar idea?
Let me write that down.
You're welcome.
Feels like that could go wrong in many ways.
Or in fairness, why can't we just have some sort of retractable roof type situation?
Enclosed
space where you drive in like a car wash and say, hey, if it's cold out, we got some heat for you. You're going to fill your tank.
Maybe some nice ambient music.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe you have a chair that you can sit in.
Why are the things you grab, like the nozzle you grab to actually gas up your car, why isn't that heated?
The steering wheels are heated?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
What are the most – that's very frustrating, being cold. I mean, yesterday we got gas, and I swear, like for some reason, where I was pumping gas was a wind tunnel.
Yeah, it's
right
brutal.
Knives were sticking in my face.
So my street feels like it is a wind tunnel. Like it's a dead end. It's kind of just set off the road. And when I'm trying to walk my dog out into the neighborhood, it's like walking down a wind tunnel just to get him out to the street. And then once I'm out the street, it's windy, but it's fine.
It's awful.
It's miserable. I hate it so much.
How many days till spring training?
Too many.
But I will say, it is. And the other part about this, the last thing on the gas pumps, and my problem with using the gas pumps on cold days. How about when you have the gas pump that is just won't quite catch its rhythm, right?
And it keeps clicking, and you have to keep
clicking.
Starting. Oh, the worst.
So this is not only are you pumping gas in negative 30 degree weather, and now it's clicking. And now it's basically, I mean, I can make a lot of analogies here, but I won't. It's you're doing it a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And then too, because you're paying with your credit card or whatever, you can't get it out of your wallet with gloves on, so you have to take the gloves off, and now your fingies are all freezing.
There's no way around it. I think, but you $1 million idea by you.
Thank you.
All right.
Indoor gas station.
Speaking of $1 million ideas and making $1 million, did you vote for or did you put a bet on Drake May for MVP?
Yeah, of course I did.
Okay. And what were the odds?
33-1.
33.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Quite a bit ago.
Paying for the wedding. Paying for the wedding.
Little by little, Rob.
And the odds have not changed since Tuesday?
So right now, Drake May is about a minus 300 favorite to win the MVP still. So
okay.
It's kind of tried to balance out a little bit, but not terribly, no.
I feel, though, as we get further away from last Sunday, people aren't understanding the immediate reaction that Sunday had, where you had this epic performance by Drake May, and you had this 3-interception game by Matthew Stafford. I think that now people are like, maybe. I know the odds haven't changed a bunch, but still. What I'm saying is that I think Matthew Stafford, by the time we hit Sunday, may have more of a chance than we gave credit for on Tuesday.
So maybe. I don't feel that way. It's simply because, like, you look at, especially you look at what he did on Monday Night Football, 3 interceptions, pick six, a second one that probably should have been another pick six, but the guy stepped out of bounds. And he did it against a team that Drake May went 65% completion percentage, 260 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. And was sacked 6 times, by the way. And then on top of it, Matthew Stafford has also had a terrible, terrible half of football against the Carolina Panthers, who, by the way, this team welcomed into Gillette Stadium and absolutely spanked around, absolutely dominated them to the tune of 42-13, where Drake May completed 82% of his passes. I think that Matthew Stafford has had moments this year that were very much not MVP moments. Drake May has not had a game this season with more than 1 interception in a single game. Matthew Stafford had 3 of them on Monday Night Football in prime time for everyone to see. And on top of that, by every statistic that isn't just passing yards and passing touchdowns, Drake May is beating Matthew Stafford. Drake May is completing 72% of his passes at a league-leading 8.9 yards per attempt. Not only is he completing a ridiculous amount of his passes, he's doing it in a fashion that extends the ball down the field, which shouldn't be possible. That's the complete opposite of what should be happening.
I'm not positive. I was trying to filter through exactly what you were saying. I'm not positive. So you think Drake May is good? I'm not positive.
Yeah.
You
yes,
think
I
you
do.
Should win MVP. I'm not.
Yes.
It was hard to interpret.
You couldn't tell? Let me be very clear. Drake May should be the unanimous MVP in the NFL this year.
Wow. All right. He won't be, by the way.
He won't be. But, you've even started to see people come out with their all-pro teams, right? Normally, not always, but normally, you can tell who will be the MVP by who is the first-team All-Pro quarterback. And Bill Barnwell of ESPN released his predictions, or what he would have for his NFL All-Pro team picks. And sure enough, at quarterback, Drake May. First-team All-Pro, Drake May.
Well, let it be said, let it be done.
Let it be known.
Yeah.
First-team All-Pro probably should be the MVP
I
as well.
I do want to – this is a good exercise will be because Matt Stafford will be in the playoffs.
Yep.
Drake May will be
as
in the playoffs.
As a wild card, by the way.
Oh, okay. Just don't crap on it. It matters. But when you have that, I want to power rank the quarterbacks
okay.
who are going to be in the playoffs.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's a fair exercise.
100%,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of power ranking, there is nobody I'd rather talk to on the planet right now more than Robert Spillane. Robert, are you there? How are you?
Oh, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on. Oh,
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. And I should note that Robert's appearance is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded by Windward Mental Health. Start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com. And by Service Credit Union, through the Protection Our Communities campaign, they're shining a light on the staffing crisis facing Massachusetts first responders. Ask your leaders to support those who keep us safe. Well, Robert, Happy New Year to you. A belated Merry Christmas, all of that. And we have the most important thing of all time is the raging debate of is the worst thing in the world having to pump gas in really cold weather. So, right? Correct?
No, I do not have a problem with that. I don't mind the cold for short spurts at all.
Okay.
Ooh.
Like, I love walking to and from the stadium in a t-shirt, you know, you kind of get that brisk cold weather.
So in the playoffs, Robert, it's going to be really cold here. Are you a no sleeves guy then?
I usually wear my arm sleeve on my left arm, but that's for other reasons. I've kind of done that for the past few years.
Okay. All right.
This is a cliche question. What's the coldest game you ever played in?
I can't remember. Maybe a game in Pittsburgh. I think it was probably like minus 14 wind chill or something
nice.
Of that nature.
Okay. All right. Well, we have to get down to brass tacks a little bit here. First of all, how are you feeling? Where are you at? You feel good heading into the last week of the season? What's your stat? Whatever you want to say about what your status is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fired up every day I come in here, looking to get better, looking to get back on the field, preparing, and I think we're progressing in the right direction, and I really just can't wait to get back out there and be a help to these guys on Sunday. I pour so much into this craft, into playing this game, so I'm itching to get back out there, just know that.
It's an exciting time, obviously. I mean, you're heading into the playoffs. You're heading into the last game. This week has been a little bit chaotic. You guys have been in the news with Stephon Diggs and Christian Barmer. And my question to you is just, how has Mike Vrabel has pushed all the right buttons? For you guys, has it just seemed like business as normal this week?
No doubt. We got Miami coming in here this weekend. A huge game for us. A chance for us to potentially get 14 wins in such a competitive league. And I know the confidence of this building is at an all-time high. And I'm really just proud of how our guys have come in here each and every day, wanting to get better, focused on the process, doing the right things. And we're excited to go out there on Sunday and put it on tape.
Miami's a relatively fast team. Coach Mike McDaniel does a great job with the offense, scheming them up. What kind of difficulties do they pose on Sunday for you guys, Robert?
Yeah, I think it starts with the run game. 28, A-Chain. He puts all 11 at the point of attack. He's a great open field runner. I think he leads the league in rushing or in all purpose yards. He's up there. He can receive out of the backfield. He can create big plays for them all over the field, so it starts with him.
You know, I want to come back to Vrabel. Every player has a lot of different coaches, and a lot of coaches are different. How is he different for you? What is the thing that maybe when you come here that maybe you didn't know about him that has been the most impressive part of what he's done? Because, once again, like this week – when he's interviewing for the job for the New England Patriots, he's not banking on this type of week where you have to deal with a lot of questions that you don't want to deal with. For you, what has been the most impressive thing about Vrabel?
Yeah, you got to remember, I know Vrabel. He recruited me out of high school. I played a year for him in Tennessee. And the man is consistent. He brings it each and every day. He creates relationships with every person in this building. And he's our leader from the top down. He brings it. He sets the tempo and the energy every single day in his team meetings. So I'm just proud to play for him.
I apologize if you've been asked this before. How is he? Is he different at all than when he was in Tennessee?
Yeah, we all change. We all grow. I think he's continued to grow, continued to work on forming relationships with people and just being, like that steadfast person that you know is going to bring energy and positivity every day.
Robert, one of the things we have batted back and forth all week is the MVP conversation. I bet you've been asked this by a bunch of different people, but, Matthew Stafford and Drake May, is Drake May the MVP?
Drake May has led this team unbelievably. Such a young kid to come in here and take this team by the reins and just say, follow me. I'm going to do the right things. I'm going to be here early, stay late, do whatever it takes to get us wins on Sunday. And at the end of the day, that's all we care about. And I'm so proud of Drake and how he's worked. And that whole offense has really come together as a group. And it's fun to play defense knowing that when you get the ball back to your offense, they're going to go down there and put points on the board.
You know, that's a Fernando Mendoza-level answer right there, right? It is. It's like, it's good. I'm complimenting him. That's great. It's like intense. Like, hey, listen, let me tell you something about Drake May. So thank you for that, Robert. I appreciate that. And do you watch these, speaking of that, do you watch these games? Do you watch these bowl games?
Yeah, we had him on yesterday. It was a fun time.
Any rooting interests?
You know, I play with guys from all these teams. I have so many former Alabama teammates that I do love Alabama. My brother went to Indiana, so I love Indiana as well. Gonzo was at Oregon, so I kind of like Oregon now. You know, so you, as a fan of football, I love watching good football. And
yeah, you're just rooting for good football games, right?
At this point, yeah. With Western Michigan out of it, yeah, I'm just rooting for good football.
Well, speaking of Western Michigan, I do want to ask you this. The it's a Wild West, man. Like the college football, Wild West. Transfer portal, I think, starts today or yesterday, right? Correct? You went to Western Michigan. And you stayed there, and you were probably – we see all these different players go to the smaller schools and end up in these games that we're watching right now. What is your take on what's going on in college football with the transfer portal stuff?
You know, I think they got their own problems. I'm really focused on what Miami's doing this week, and I'm honestly not worried. I had no idea the transfer portal was even open. I was never a part of the transfer portal. I know back in the day, if we would have had a 12-team playoff, Western Michigan would have been in it.
Ooh!
And I think we would have made some noise. So
really? All right.
Yeah, so that's all I have to say about college football.
That's good. Let's say anything to pump up. Listen, keep focusing on the Broncos, the Western Michigan Broncos, yeah. That is.
Robert, you know, you've been battling some injury issues the last couple weeks. You know, we're expecting to see Milton Williams come back eventually here. Will Campbell should be back soon as well, hopefully from injury. How important is it for you guys to be healthy, getting ready to try and make a playoff run?
You know, I'm so proud of all the guys that have stepped up. It's not about the guys that are off the field. It's about the guys that are playing on the field. You know, Jack Gibbons has gone in there and been a true green dot middle linebacker, and he showed that he is deserving of that role. So I'm proud of how guys have really stepped up and showed themselves. In due time, people will get healthy and people come back, and that's the nature of our business. But just to watch guys step up in those roles when needed. So many guys on the D-line have stepped up in place, because when you lose Milton, you lose a big part of your defense. And just seeing those guys get those reps, it's going to actually play dividends for us in this playoff push.
Last question for me, Robert, is that, you know, when you get together with this team and you're going through all the preseason stuff and everything else, you hope for the best. You like to see the best in everybody. But did you anticipate it landing where it's landed? not only in terms of record, but you mentioned guys stepping up and how deep you guys are after some injuries. Did you anticipate this truthfully way back when you were going through the dog days?
Yeah, that was a big reason for me coming here. I knew that this was going to be a special place, that this was going to be a special team, that Vrabel was going to lead Drake May, being a big part of this team, to come out here and do what he's done. And I think it just shows what type of team we have. I've never walked into a game expecting to lose, so I do have a little naivety. I've always expected to be on winning teams that win a lot of games. So I'm proud, like I've said, but at the same time, I'm more proud of the focus that we have going into Miami this week.
Robert, it is New Year's. Happy New Year's to you. Did you have any New Year's resolutions for 2026?
No, I didn't make any New Year's resolutions this year. I want to focus on being a good family man. Obviously, playing the best football I can play, taking care of my two beautiful daughters and my wife at home, and keeping the main things, keeping what I care about as a priority in my life.
And beating Miami. Let's go. So, but Robert, excellent perspective, excellent job on everything. And again, happy new year. And we really appreciate you taking some time to join us. And good luck in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Good luck, Robert. Thank you.
All right. That was Robert Splain, New England Patriots linebacker. We can do some takeaways, but first we're going to take a break. My takeaway is if you want good news from the Patriots in this time that you need good news from the Patriots, is that you have this guy who isn't afraid of pumping gas in the cold.
Nope, yeah. Not at all. He's not afraid of the cold.
That should be a combine question.
I think he thinks we are cowards for hating the cold.
Oh, I don't care. I am a coward. Are you kidding me?
He absolutely thinks we are children.
All right, we got to take a break. 617-779-7937. Big announcement regarding a campaign we're doing at 8 o'clock. But first, we're going to take a break. David Azar behind the glass. Chris Scheim right here. I'm Rob Bradford. This is The Greg Hill Show.
Don't be left out. The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Oh, my goodness. There you go.
Woo! Light me up!
We should put up a poll. We should get you more jacked up. Ace of Spades or that.
Oh, this song is so good.
No, it's good. Like I said, it's a really... I said this on Tuesday. It's a really, really good run from the bullpen to the mound song.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, as soon as you hear the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then as soon as the music hits, gate opens, out you run. Yeah. Oh.
There's a lot of things that we're surfacing. We're changing the world one step at a time. Yeah. And one thing that I do want to do is I know that you have a very, very deep contact list there, David Azar. Right?
Here's big Rolodex.
Yes.
I was going to say Rolodex, but that was that would be dating myself.
Oh, please.
Great. So I will say this. Here's your test, right? We've been pushing you to the limit all morning, starting at 6 o'clock.
It's working.
Yeah, I know it is. You're a better human being. You're a better worker. You're a better producer. You're a better analyst. Your brain has never been hotter. Here's your test. We need a body language expert for the Tom Brady, Alex Earl thing. We really do. I mean, we really, as I said, I don't think we need to be an expert, but I would love to hear a body language expert. Yeah. Body expert. I was going to say body expert. I
body
like that.
Moving.
But yeah. Yeah. Is this a good idea? I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. I think it's pretty obvious. I'm no expert, but I could take a stab at it and figure out exactly what it is.
I know. I got a feeling a lot of our callers could probably call it and say, I'll be your body language expert
today. I think they had a great night is what I would phrase it.
I don't think Robert Spillane was going to answer that question if I asked him.
I would say probably not. No, I don't even know if he's seen the video.
And like I said, at the top of the hour, we have an announcement regarding a big campaign, which Chris Schaub is going to be part of. I assume, and you know the deal, I assume that everybody at the station should be part of this, right? Correct?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. Yeah. Everybody can be.
Everybody.
It's doable.
Everybody maybe in the country should be part of it. So that's what we're trying to make a world a better place. That's what we're going to do through the Baseballs and Boring brand, but also through our friends at Awaken 180. We'll explain all of that coming up at 8 o'clock. All right. So as we said, you know, we asked Robert Spillane. We knew that you were going to get sort of that answer when we even broached the subject about the crazy week. What was your takeaway from when you initially heard it? And now, like I said, now has your mindset differed at all?
Yeah, so I think when I initially
I'm sorry. I should note, what we're talking about is the Stephon Diggs and Christian Barmore news.
Correct, yeah. So I thought the Patriots' statements were very telling. The Patriots, following the news about Stephon Diggs, who was charged with felony strangulation or suffocation and misdemeanor assault and battery, the New England Patriots issued a statement where they said they are, the New England Patriots are aware of the accusations that have been made regarding Stephon Diggs. Stephon has informed the organization that he categorically denies the allegations. We support Stephon. We will continue to gather information and will cooperate fully with the appropriate authorities in the NFL as necessary. Whereas in the Barmore statement, it is the New England Patriots are aware of reports regarding a pending February arraignment involving Christian Barmore, which stems from an alleged domestic incident that occurred in August. The Patriots were made aware at the time of the incident and informed the NFL in a timely manner. The matter remains part of an ongoing legal process. So, to me, there is a clear support for Stephon Diggs, in that Diggs is telling them, hey, I didn't strangle this lady. I did not do this. All these things. Whereas with the Barmore situation, they know it happened. They are aware of it. I believe the report was that allegedly Christian Barmore's girlfriend or wife or the woman involved called the Patriots car service to get her transported away. So the Patriots knew about it. And as they told you in their statement, reported it to the NFL. They're like, look, we dealt with this. In August, we took care of it. We reported to the NFL. We're aware of it. The legal process is ongoing. Whereas with the Stephon Diggs one, they're totally supporting him in that he is denying the accusation. So to me, like, it's clearly, it feels like, and this is, again, this is a personal belief, that it feels very much like the Stephon Diggs situation. Stephon Diggs is trying to tell them, look, it's like a money grab. Like, I didn't hurt this person. I didn't do this. Whatever they're saying is crap. And they believe him.
So that said, when they reported the Barmore thing to the NFL, are you surprised that the NFL hasn't done anything?
No, not at all. This is what the NFL does. The NFL has told you now, time and time again, that they will allow the legal process to play out. And then once the legal process has played out, they will make their judgment on if a player should be suspended or not. That is what the NFL has done now time and time again.
I'm going to go back a ways. And I'm not saying this is apples to apples because it's not. The Ray Rice thing, right? But the Ray Rice thing, you remember. How that shook out. Nothing happened until the video surfaced.
Correct.
I mean, that's one of the things that always have stuck with me.
Yep.
So, you know,
there has to be like hard video evidence for the NFL to react immediately to anything. Otherwise, they allow the legal process to play out. Like the Deshaun Watson thing, whether it's, you know, Deshaun Watson or Justin Tucker or Josh Brown or whoever it is, any of the guys that have been involved in legal troubles, they allow the legal process to play out and then make their decision on if they are going to suspend a guy or not.
Okay. 617-779-7937. Also, we have the comments made by Mike Vrabel about after it happened. Some of the words that he used initially was, I thought, a little bit of a misstep, but it's interesting. I said this to Robert Spillane, and all I could think of, like, when Mike Vrabel's interviewing for this job and going through this thing, it's like, this isn't part of the deal. Like, this isn't part of, oh, wait a second, I gave you this team, it's this great team, it's this together team, then boom, out of nowhere, I have to answer these questions. Well, welcome to the world of NFL coaching,
yep.
Correct?
It's part
of the league. Before we hit the break, Randy in Providence. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, good.
What's up, Randy?
Not much. So I called in Tuesday talking about Barmore. That was prior to this news being dropped. And we heard, you know, the statements out of the team. I think Chime, you're right on point. It just reads between the lines like the Patriots, the team, like thinks there's probably something to the Barmore claim, and maybe not so much with the Steph. And I think that another thing that to add on to kind of the calculus is Drake May. When they talked to Drake May and asked him about it, they said, just kind of describe the guys, you know, as teammates. And he gushed about Steph Diggs for a couple minutes. And I don't think he mentioned Barmore by name at all. And, I mean, I know that, you know, Steph and he are on the offense and they have a connection as QB wide receiver. But him and Barmore have been teammates for 2 years. You'd think he'd at least mention the guy's name.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Randy.
Yeah, look, I think there is some truth to that. It feels very much like the Patriots totally support Stephon Diggs in his categorically denying the accusations against him. And they probably believe something happened with Barmore, but because it's the NFL and he's a good football player, they'll allow the legal process to play out and they want him on this roster because he helps the team win. Like, that's kind of the way it goes in the NFL. That's what it feels like, right, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't argue with anything you're saying. Let's sneak in another call before the break. David in the car. Hey, David.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. So this is very interesting what's going on with Diggs and this other gentleman, and this falls in line with my part of my line of work. And unfortunately, what happens is it's very hard to prove something when it took so long to be reported. And, of course, Stephon Diggs is going to say, no, it never happened. And, yes, the Patriots cannot. They have to support him because until the proof is there, until it's been proven, they can't just dismiss him. They can't suspend him. Same thing with the NFL because the proof has to be there. And you mentioned, Rob, about, you know, with Ray Rice, yes, it took until the hot evidence came out. He kept playing and nothing happened. And even after that, we all know what happened. A lot of it was hidden away. So this could develop to a very interesting situation. Is it difficult? It is. And unfortunately, it's, you know, it is what it is. And we just got to deal with it as fans. And the Patriots got to deal with it. And so is the NFL. Not going to be easy.
Yeah, no question. And we're going to keep talking about this because there's a lot of things to pick through. As I said, play the Vrabel comments. And I'm also anxious to get perspective because we've had a few days here now. On Tuesday, about an hour after Shime and I finished, it just blew up with the dig stuff. And the next day is Barmore. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's sifting through all this stuff. Patriots do enough sort of to put the fire out, I guess. We're going to talk all about that. And you have something else or no? You're good?
I'm good.
Okay.
That's great.
All right. Well, this is good because we're going to storm
into
the break.
Stay on the clock. Don't want Ken texting us.
No. And also, big, big news after this break. Big campaign. Chris Shime's very excited for. It's big news. Big news. David Ayers, are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Well, we're going to hear all about it right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.